Let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter number 1 this morning. Joshua chapter number 1. And we are continuing our series that is based off the book by Robert J. Morgan. And for some reason, I always want to put a son on the end of that. I don't know. I did that last week. I don't know why. Robert J. Morgan is his name. And it is an awesome book on moving forward. And so he takes the story, and that's what we're talking about here in Joshua chapter number 1, of Joshua moving forward with the children of Israel. Remember what we looked at last week where it says, hey, my servant Moses is dead. Now it's time to get up and to move forward. So this series is not, it's not an original idea with me. It's based on his book and some of the things that he talks about. And what we'll do is we'll take it here to apply to what we need as a church, what we need as individuals. But last week, we spent some time looking at rule number 1, which says God wants you to move forward. Okay, he does not want any of us to kind of just be on standby. He wants us to be moving forward with him. We ought to be moving forward as a congregation, as a church. That's why we invite people. That's why we reach out. That's why we witness. We ought to be stepping forward. And we talked about the fact that moving forward can be a scary thing because that means change. You cannot move forward without something changing. You cannot. And that's kind of scary because the familiar brings a sense of safety and security. But God told Joshua, hey, get up. It's time to move forward. And God wants you to move us to move forward as a congregation. He wants us to move forward as individuals, spiritually. None of us should be content with just staying the way that you are spiritually. We all have steps to take. We all have things that we need to work on. And man, I've loved some of the conversations that I've had with some of you this week where you said, hey, this is the step that I needed to take. I'm working on it. Whether that means, hey, getting up a couple minutes early and spending some time in prayer. And that seems like such a small step. But day after day, prayer time after prayer time, you look back and you see how God has brought you such a long way in your relationship with him because you've spent that time communicating. For some of you, that means getting up a little early, maybe staying up a little bit later, and spending some time in the Word. And really getting down into it, reading it for yourself, studying it for yourself. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute here. For some of you, it means taking your invite card and inviting somebody, because for some of us, you know what? It's a scary thing to reach out to a stranger and invite them to church. For some of us, it's a scary thing to reach out to a coworker, a neighbor, a family member, and say, hey, will you come to church? That can be a scary thing. But that's a step that some of us need to take. Now, all of us should be doing that. Some of us are doing that. Some of us, we haven't yet, or we haven't in a while. It's time to step forward and do that. Some of us, the step we need to take is to literally share the Jesus as the way of salvation with the people who are around us. And you've developed friendships, you've developed relationships, you've not yet got to a place where you're sharing Jesus with them personally. It's time for some of us to take that step in our relationships. So don't just stay where you are spiritually. Rule 1 says, guess what? It's time to move forward. And this morning, we're going to look at rule number 2, which is say no to fear, yes to strength. No to fear, yes to strength. We're here in Joshua chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 6 together. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we just lift up our hearts to you. And Lord, we're asking the Spirit of God to now speak to each and every one of us. Lord, we know that every time your word is open, you want to speak to us. And so, in the quietness of each of our hearts, we're asking you to speak to us. And God, there's some here in the room with us, there's some watching online that have never trusted Jesus as the way of salvation, and they need to put their faith and trust in Jesus today. And I pray that your Spirit would convict them of their wrongdoing and help them to trust in Jesus as the way of salvation. For God, there's people that need to take that step of baptism. They need to step forward and say, you know what, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I want to publicly commit my life to Jesus, and I need to be baptized. Lord, for some of us, it is telling others, it is inviting, it is reading our Bible, it is praying, but there's steps that each of us need to take, Lord, and for some of us, as we're talking about this morning, we need to set aside the fear, because fear has crippled us. And instead of moving forward like we're supposed to, we shrink back because we're afraid. And God, I pray that your Spirit this morning would help us to be able to push that fear aside and to move forward in the strength and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're talking about rule 2, say no to fear, yes to strength. And I want to start off by asking you, what is it that you are afraid of? Who wants to share with us? What's something you are afraid of? Anybody want to share with us your fear? Go ahead, get it off your chest today. So, for instance, I am afraid of spiders. Don't like spiders. So, if I see a spider in my house, I call my wife. And she takes care of it. All right, so I'm pouring out my heart to you. Now you pour out your heart to me. What are you afraid of? Yes, Chuck. Bees, snakes, and wild boars. So that's, he does some biking and he could come in across any of those while he's out biking on the trail, which we went biking this week, had a really good time. Somebody else, what are you afraid of? Yes. Heights. All right, good. Similar to me, I'm afraid of falling from a long way up and landing on the ground from a far way up, but some people would call that a fear of heights. Yes. All right, anybody else? What are you afraid of? Got fear of anything else? Yes. Heights. Okay, so we got a few of us that are in that same boat. And when we think about the whatever it is that caused us to fear, and some of us, we're afraid of maybe having conversations with people we don't know. Okay, so we have relational fears. Some of us, we have some spiritual fears of the unknown. You know, maybe you're unsure of what happens when I die. What happens in eternity when I take my last breath here? So spiritually, we might have some fears. Intellectually, we might have some fears. If we're put into a certain circumstances, whether it's a school setting or whatever else. Some of you are in high school here. Some of you are taking college courses. And sometimes stepping into some of these classes can bring a little bit of intellectual fear. All of us have fears that we have to face in our lives from time to time. And those things can change at different points in our lives. And one of the things I like to do in communicating with you and is just kind of share my life with you. I want you to see my heart. I want you to get know who I am. So I try to be as open as I can be. And can I just be honest with you? There was some fear for me and for my wife of moving here to Palm Coast. There's some fear involved. Because we're moving from a place where we know everybody around us. Okay? We know everybody. We know the ministry that we're in. We know how things work, how they operate, and all those sorts of things. And now we're moving to a place where the closest person that I know, and I'm talking about really know, is 2.5 hours away. That's the closest. So there is some fear of that, moving to a place where you don't really know anybody. You don't know how the system works. You don't... Where we move from, once again, the safety of the known, we're well taken care of, well provided for. Now we're stepping out by faith to say, hey, what are we going to get paid? How are we going to get paid? What's going to happen? There's some unknown there. And that can bring fear. And I remember one time, we're on our way down here, we're moving down here. course, there's tears, there are emotions. We had a very emotional Sunday, and we left, and we moved out of town. And a couple hours down the road, my wife is crying, and she says, are we doing the right thing? Yeah, we're doing the right thing. Like, we knew we were doing the right thing, but she just needed that reassurance. Because why? Because there's some fear of the unknown. And this is a whole lot of unknown for us. And I've been having some conversations with some people trying to figure out, okay, how do things work here? How do they operate here? What does everybody else do? I try not to step on people's toes and, you know, be respectful and all those sorts of things. And one of the things that we've had to do, and this is something you have to do as well, is we have to say no to fear. I'm not going to let fear dictate what I do. I'm not going to let fear dictate what I say. I'm not going to let fear dictate how I treat people. I need to say no to fear and yes to strength. And of course, we know that we don't have the strength within us. Paul wrote in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So when we talk about being strong, I'm not talking about grabbing myself up by the bootstraps. No, I'm talking about choosing the strength of the Lord and letting him show his strength through me and through my circumstances. And here in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 6, God is speaking to Joshua and he says this, be strong and courageous. And this is something that he repeats a couple of times here. And you know why he repeats it? Because Joshua is afraid. And I understand that fear. Your leader has died. He has good reason to be afraid. Your leader has died. This guy that you've looked up to, your mentor, your whatever else, he worked closely alongside with Moses. Now Moses is gone, and God turns to Joshua and says, it's you now. Man, there's some fear in that. There's a lot of fear in that. I remember when I first became lead pastor, and I was voted in at Good News to follow my pastor. My pastor retired. So he retired December 31st, 2009. January 1st, 2010, I took over as lead pastor. And I remember just the fear in that. Like midnight came, we were having a teen event. Teen stuff's getting ready to start here. I'm excited about that. We were having a teen event, teen lock-in and for the New Year's. And so midnight rolled around and one of the teenagers came up to me and he said, the church didn't burn down, I'm surprised. But he was the first one who noticed, all right, midnight came, you are the lead pastor now. And I just remember like, man, there's some fear in this. Because it comes to me now. There is a lot of comfort in being the second guy. And there were some days, there's been some days as lead pastor, I was like, man, I wish I was the second guy. Because I used to love it. When I was the assistant pastor, when I was the youth pastor, if there was a big problem, you know what I did? I said, well, let's take this to pastor and let's see what he says. Now there's no one, I take it to the Lord, but there's some fear in that. And I'm thankful for the lead team that we have together here. We had a great meeting on Tuesday, so it's not just me. We have a great lead team here, and I'm so appreciative for them. But there's some fear in that. There was fear in the enemy. Because remember, they spied out the land. Joshua walked in the land. He's the one who looked things over. He was there. So he knew about the giants. He knew about the fortified cities. He knew about the strength of the enemy. And God senses the fear in him. And I'm so thankful we have a God who knows us deeply. Because you know what? I could fake it with you. I could stand up here and pretend like I've never been afraid. Like I didn't have to think twice about coming down here. There was no fear. I could fool you. I don't want to, but I could. There's no fooling God. He knows each and every one of us deeply, and I'm thankful for that. He looks down at Joshua and he says, hey, listen, I know you're afraid, but I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. And when we talk about finding strength, I want to give you three things we're going to find strength in here this morning. The first thing we're going to find strength in is his promises. Find strength in his promises. Notice what God tells Joshua here in verse number 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So he says, hey, I want you to be strong and courageous, but that strength and courage was based upon the promises that God had already given to them. God had told them that I'm going to give you this land. Now, they allowed fear to control them 40 years earlier. God did not want them to allow fear to control them here. He said, you need to be strong, courageous. I have promised you the victory. So you don't need to fear the enemies. You don't need to fear the unknown and what's going to happen, because I've already promised you that I'm going to give this land to you. I've already promised you that I'm going to give you the victory. And there is some comfort and there is some strength in the promises of God. And I want you to think for just a minute about God's promises, because I'm going to ask you to share what your favorite promise of God is with me. I want to turn to our live streamers first. I want you to put in the comments there, what is the promise of God that you love more than any other? What's the one that you turn to in that moment of fear? And put it ahead in the comments there. I have my live stream up, ready to go. I'll get your comments there. I want you to respond with me. All right, for those who are in the room, what's one of the promises of God, yes, that you turn to? Never leave us, never forsake us. And that is a great promise there. Somebody else, what's a promise? Yes. Yes, that God is faithful. And there's times where we are so unfaithful as people, but God is always faithful. And man, there's some strength and some comfort in that. Somebody else, what's your promise that you cling to? Anybody else want to share with us your promise? Yes, sir. All right, man, what a great promise that is. Yeah, let's hear for that promise, because it's exactly what we're talking about here. He's promised, God promised that I will give you strength. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. And if you don't know what he's talking about when he says righteous right hand, not to offend you left-handers in here, but the right hand was known as the hand of strength. He says, I've got you, and nothing is going to be able to handle you. Nothing's going to be able to get you. And so we have these promises. Yes, you have a promise?
Yeah, I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Yeah, what a great promise that is. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And that brings some comfort in and of itself. Just the promise and the fact that God loves you. And some of you need to get that for yourself. And you need to understand personally and deeply that God does love you, that he does care about you. Jan Nichols here says that we are never alone. Man, what a great thing that is, that he has promised to be with us. And for me, probably the promise that I look to more than any other kind of fits into what I do as a lead pastor, and that is Matthew 16:18, where Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a wonderful promise and a reminder that is for me. But as we think about Joshua here, God said, hey, cling to this promise. I'm going to give you it. I'm going to give you that land. I promised it. You're going to take it. And there's not anything that's going to be able to stop you. Think about the fortified cities. They're not going to be able to stop you. The giants, they're not going to be able to stop you. Nothing is going to be able to stop you. When God makes a promise, he performs it every single time. So when we think about the promises of God, that ought to provide strength for me as a believer to know if God has said it, then he will do it. He will perform every single time when he says. So when he says, hey, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I know God's not going anywhere. And some of us, that's hard to understand, because we've had some people leave us and forsake us, and they said they never would. For some of us, we've had a spouse stand up and promise their undying love till the day we die, death do us part, I'm going to love you, I'm going to be there for you, sickness, health, all this stuff. And that turned out to be a lie. For some of us, we've had some people that said, hey, I'll never leave you. some friends and they've turned their back on us. People will fail us every single time because we're human. But when God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, you can mark it down. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And that'll provide some strength and some comfort there. Whatever he promised, he is going to perform it. And then we see here, not only does his promise provide strength, but we can find strength in his plan as well. Look at Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 7, where he says, only be strong and very courageous. So, he's repeating the fact, you need to be strong, you need to be courageous. Gives us some insight on the fear that maybe he had. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So here, he not only says, hey, find strength in my promises, but you can find strength in my plan. Now, do we have any fans of IKEA in here? Who likes IKEA? All right, a couple of you. All right, some of you are like, eh. Can I share something with you and don't hold it against me? I hate IKEA. I can't stand IKEA. We moved down here and we had to get some things for the kids and some stuff for the house. So we're like, hey, let's go to IKEA. This place that we have heard about. So we go into IKEA and I don't know how you are, but I'm the type of shopper that when I go shopping, I want to walk in, go straight to what I want. I want to buy it and I want to leave. I don't want you to hold me hostage for 2 hours in the store and so that I can peruse literally everything that you sell in the entire place. I don't want to do that. We walked out of there after 2 hours and I literally felt like shouting, freedom! I'm free. Found my way out of here. It's a maze. So the girls all got desks. So they wanted some desks for their rooms and be able to do their schoolwork and all that kind of stuff. So we got some desks. So I decided, all right, I'm going to put one of these desks together. One of the smaller ones. Some of you are with me. You know. You're laughing already because you know. For those that aren't familiar, maybe you're watching online, you've never been to IKEA. Go. If you want torture and you love that sort of thing, go to IKEA. Buy something. Try to put it together. So I picked one of the small desks. Let's start out small. I open the box and there are so many parts. It's this little desk that is like this tall and this wide. Like it's so little. Where are all these parts supposed to go? And then all the hardware and everything else. I probably spent 2 hours putting this desk together. I'm not exaggerating. But I know you can't get that time back. But when I open the box and I start taking out all these pieces, there's one thing that I am looking for. I'm looking for the plans. I want to know what the plan is. Because without those plans, I have no idea what all this hardware is. There's like 1,800 different kinds of screws in one box for one desk. All these different parts. I have no idea how they go together. I need the plans if I'm going to have success putting this desk together. And the same is true with our lives. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, sexually, all these types of things. If I'm going to be successful, I need to have the plans. And one thing I love about God is not one who just says, hey, this is what you need to do and figure it out. Good luck. He didn't turn to Joshua and say, hey, you need to conquer the promised land, cross this flooded Jordan River, figure it out, get over there, take the land that I promised to you and figure it out. No. He had a plan. He says, hey, I told Moses what to do. So just follow the plan that I gave Moses. Follow the plan. And for some of us, you know, we don't need any more information. For some of us, we have all the information spiritually that we need right now. How many of you would say it's been at least 5 years since I trusted Jesus to be my Savior? At least five. Raise your hand. I've known Jesus for at least 5 years. All right? Put your hand down. How many of you would say I've known Jesus for at least 10 years? At least 10. All right? Most of us in here. How about 20? At least 20. I've known Jesus as my Savior. All right, good. We're getting up there. 30. Raise your hand. All right, a lot of hands. 40. All right. 50. 60. Yeah, for real. We won't go further, okay? I won't go further. Some of you have been 70 plus. We'll put it there. And that's incredible. Yeah, that's something to be excited about. He's been over 80 maybe, huh? So a long time. And because of that, we've got a lot of information. We know a lot about God. We've spent a lot of time in services like this. We know a lot about the Bible. We know a lot about Jesus. We know a lot about salvation. But we're not doing anything with the information. And one of the things that he emphasizes to Joshua is it's not just know the plan that I gave to Moses. You need to do it. You need to follow through on the information that you know. Notice what he says in verse number 7. He says, be careful to do. Being careful to do. In verse number 8, he says, be careful to do. And it's the same thing that he wants for us today as a church. It's not just know the information, but it's what you do with the information. Joshua could have known all the plans, but unless he acted upon it, that information was worthless to him. And it wasn't just worthless, it's probably damaging to us. Because some of us have been fooled that because we know the plan, then spiritually that makes us very mature. Knowing the information does not make us spiritually mature. Doing the information, putting it into practice, is what makes us spiritually mature. And that's what he wants from us as a church. So we have a very familiar portion of scripture for many in Matthew chapter number 28, where Jesus says, this is the plan for the church. Okay? So he says in verse 18, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he says the plan. All right, go make disciples. He says, make sure they get baptized. And then you'll notice the third part of what he says is teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. So he doesn't just say, teach them all the commandments. He doesn't just say, pass on the information to them. He says, make sure they do it. Make sure they follow through. Put the information into practice. And that's where we can find strength. Because as we put his plan into action, we know that he's going to do everything that he said that he would do. So no matter what lies ahead, we can find strength in his plan. He's given it to us. Then look at Joshua 1:9, and you'll see that we can find strength in his promise, or in his presence, excuse me, his presence. He says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. Notice, here's the reason why I can have courage. Here's the reason why I don't have to be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you. He repeats the promise that he gave them in verse number 5. We looked at it last week where he says, I will be with you just like I was with Moses. I will not leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise that he reiterated to the psalmist in Psalm 23 in verse number 4, where he says, hey, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil. Why? Because you, my great shepherd, are with me. In Matthew 28:20, we just read his plan. After he gives his plan, he says this, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I can find strength in his presence, that he's right here with me. And I think about when my girls were little. Every day I kind of go through my memories on Facebook, and I look at everything that's kind of happened, and we posted that day and whatever else, and I really enjoy that. And often pictures of my daughters when they're very small will come up, and I'm just kind of reminded of things that happened. And there have been times where my daughters have been scared. Happens less and less as they're getting older. It still happens from time to time, depending on the circumstance, where they're scared. I remember when they were toddlers and they'd be so afraid of whatever's happening, whatever's going on. And I would always tell them, listen, Daddy's right here. Like, I'm right here. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. You don't have to be afraid. Daddy's here. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us. Because sometimes moving forward is a scary thing. We're moving into the unknown. But we're not moving forward by ourselves. God's not saying to us, hey, go. You move ahead of me. He's saying, let's go. And he goes with us every single step of the way. We can find strength in the fact that our Heavenly Father is with us. So whatever he says, hey, get up and go do, I don't have to be afraid because I know I'm not going alone. He's going with me. I don't have to be afraid to come to Palm Coast, even though I didn't know anybody. There's so much unknown. You know why? It's because my Heavenly Father's here with me. And no matter what happens, he's here with me. We can find strength in that. So whatever happens, whatever's going on in your life, find strength in the fact that his presence is right here with you. And I want you to think about this morning. What fear is holding you back? Because for some of us here, some of us watching online, we are allowing our fears to hold us back from what God wants us to do. We're allowing our fears to keep us from moving forward for the cause of Christ. Maybe what's the promise you need to lean on today? Talked about all these different promises. What's the one that you need to lean to? What part of his plan do you need to follow? We know the plan that he has for us. It's time to move forward and do it. Stop allowing fear to hold you back. Move forward and follow the plan. Maybe you just need to find strength in his presence. To know God's here with me. Yeah, this moment is scary. This health crisis is scary. This job change, this whatever, it's scary. But I'm not here alone. My Heavenly Father is right here with me. God told Joshua in verse number 6 of chapter number 1, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Rule 2 says, say no to fear, yes to strength. Let's say yes to his strength today.